Happy Friday to you. This is Grace in Focus. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you so much for joining us. So we're currently taking questions from listeners just like you. Would you like your questions to be answered? Well, everybody probably has some question. We hope that you'll send us your questions at radio@faithalone.org. That's our email. Well, let's take a look at today's question. Here they are. There's actually two of them. Was man created to resolve the angelic conflict? And what is mankind's purpose? Both really great questions, and I bet they're going to take the discussion in an interesting direction. Here's Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar to talk about it.
Well, thanks for listening to the show. My name's Sean.
Hi, I'm Bob.
We are taking your questions. Now, you can send your questions to radio@faithalone.org. Here's one from Leslie. And she says, was man created to resolve the angelic conflict? I was taught that. Basically, she wants to know, what is the purpose of human beings? Now, not everyone will have heard of this thing called the angelic conflict, but they might be able to figure out what that means just by the terms involved.
Right. Well, different ways of understanding this. R.B. Thiem wrote a book called The Angelic Conflict. In fact, after we got this question, I borrowed it from you and read through it, and it had quite a few helpful points. But the basic point of, I think, what Leslie's asking about is that Satan fell. And from the book of Revelation, we gather that one-third of the angels fell.
Right.
So it was a huge number of angels, probably something like 100 million angels that fell, and two-thirds of the angels did not fall. Well, the ones that fell are going to have their eternal destiny in the lake of fire, and they'll be tormented forever. But that's a future destiny for them. That won't occur until after the millennium. Then they will be cast into the lake of fire. Then what happened is God created man evidently shortly after the fall. Now, there are different views. Some people believe in the gap view, which is that there's a gap between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2. And that's why the earth was formless and void.
Right.
Hebrew, it's tohu vabohu. Mm-hmm. And that's used in Isaiah to say God doesn't create things that way.
Mm-hmm.
So some people say there had to have been a gap and there was some sort of life on earth before the creation of Adam and Eve. But according to the gap view, what we read in Genesis 1 through 3 is literally occurred.
Right.
I mean, God literally created Adam out of the dust of the earth, and he created Eve from his rib, and literally all the things that stated there occurred, but it was kind of a recreation over the original creation, and some people with the gap view would believe the earth is very old. I hold to what's called YEC, YEC, Young Earth Creationism. And I think the earth is about 6,200 years old, that creation was about 4,200 B.C. But regardless of what view you take, we deal with the fact that Lucifer was in the garden. He was taking over this snake.
Right.
And the serpent in the garden was speaking for Satan.
Right.
And ultimately that led to the fall of humans. And so...
And I would note, too, in Genesis 3, you see the beginnings of this conflict, you know, this war between God and Satan. And
yes.
In Genesis 3, when he makes the promise about the coming Messiah.
You know, Genesis 3:15.
Right. So God curses the serpent, but then he also makes this promise that the Messiah is going to come, and there's going to be a war between this serpent seed and the seed of the woman, and the seed of the woman is going to crush, the serpent's going to bite the seed of the woman on the heel, and he's going to crush the serpent's head.
So there are so many things in there. Biting on the heel looks at the cross, but the stomping on the head also looks at the cross, because that's Jesus' ultimate victory, and ultimately we will see that played out after the millennium.
Well, see, I also wonder if it's a, you know, allusion to, I'll make your enemies the footstool of your feet, too.
That's good.
You know, all of Jesus' enemies are going to be under his feet, which is kind of like an ancient symbol of a conqueror stepping right. on his enemies.
Well, in fact, in the Old Testament, they often stood on the neck.
Right.
And the other thing that's interesting, it's the seed of the woman. It's not the seed of Adam, the
right.
man.
Right.
It's the seed of the woman, which is an allusion to the virgin birth.
Virgin birth, absolutely.
And, of course, the seed of the woman is the Messiah. As you said, it's the Son of God. And so what we find is ultimately in all of this, there's a conflict between the serpent, Lucifer, and mankind. And
right.
we see all the way through the Old and New Testament.
Yeah, you have the angels intermarrying with the women in Genesis 6, I believe.
Yeah.
And I believe it's an attack on the seed of the woman trying to dilute the line of Messiah, maybe.
Right, perverted at the very least.
Right.
Yeah.
So you see that there. And then, of course, there's interesting passages in Daniel where he's talking
right.
to angels and he's like, well, I was kind of held up by having this fight with this basically a demon over in this other city
right,
over here.
Right.
It's very interesting. And then Jesus comes and there's all kinds of exorcisms that are happening. And obviously
right.
there is a fight with the demon. Demons aren't exactly angels, but when they talk about the angelic conflict, they mean all of these spirit
beings. Right, fallen
right.
angels and demons.
Right.
And of course you get to Paul in Ephesians 6 that
right.
we're doing battle with the heavenly forces, with Satan and his forces. Peter says, our adversary, Satan, is like a roaring lion, seeking
right.
whom he may devour. So we do have a conflict with angels on an ongoing basis. But Leslie's bigger question is, what is our purpose? What was mankind created for?
Right. So her question is, were we created to resolve this angelic conflict? Her bigger question is, well, if not, then why were we created? So let's address the question she asked. Do you think that's why we were created? How would the creation of man even solve the angelic conflict?
Okay, yes, I would say that's part of the reason we were created. But we can only be victorious in this angelic conflict because of the God-man. It's only in Christ
yeah.
that we can have victory.
Right.
You see, he's the ultimate victor over
right.
Satan. And so, has God made us a part of that? Yes. Will we share in Jesus' victory? Absolutely. When he returns, for example, at the end of the seven-year tribulation period, he's not only coming with an angelic army of unfallen angels, but he's coming with us,
right.
with the church age and the Old Testament believers as well. And we're going to participate in the ending of the tribulation, which was part of the angelic conflict. But then there's also going to be a rebellion at the end of the millennium.
Right.
We will evidently be taking part in putting that down as well. And then, of course, there's going to be the fallen angels being cast into the lake of fire. And evidently, we have something to do with that.
Right, because Paul said, when he was addressing the Corinthians were carnal in all kinds of different ways, but one of the ways that they were carnal is they were taking each other to court in 1 Corinthians 6, and he says, do you not know that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? He's like, if we're going to judge angels, then don't you think you're competent enough to handle these cases amongst yourselves without having to go to unbelievers?
And I think that probably has to refer to judging fallen angels. We're not going to be the judges. Jesus will be the judge, but we're going to be at least witnesses there. We're going to be
yeah.
somehow involved. And so Paul can say, in some sense, we're judging the angels because we're in Christ. What I would say to Leslie is that is one of many purposes of man. I wouldn't see that as the primary purpose of man.
God's creation of us does demonstrate a lot of things about him, that he is the Savior, that he is the righteous judge, that he is a lot of those things that maybe,
well, that he's loving, for example, John 3:16.
Especially that he's loving.
Right?
Now, you wrote a blog, Bob, and you should sign up for our blog. I mean, we get so much great traffic, great response to
and
our
blog. And how much does it cost to get our blog?
It is F-R-E-E. It is
Are
free.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Okay.
You can sign up at our website, faithalone.org. And you gave 7 reasons for God creating
because
humanity.
That's the perfect number, right? So
it's
I had to come
number.
Up with 7.
Yeah, it's a great number. One of them, number 7, is because God wanted humans to share his victory over Satan and his forces. But let me go over the other 6.
Yeah.
1, you say because God wanted us to have dominion on the earth. That's one reason why God created us. That's in our purpose statement, Genesis 1:28.
Right.
God created us to rule. And that's why ruling with Christ isn't a weird idea. It's in Genesis chapter 1,
mm-hmm.
the purpose statement of man. 2, because he wanted to have fellowship with us forever.
Right.
You know, God is a God of love, and love needs an object to love. So God created us to be objects of his love so he can, you know, he'd have someone to love and to fellowship
with. Yeah, now a lot of theologians point out because God's a Trinity, three persons, one being, he didn't have to create us because he could just show love within the Trinity, but he chose to because he wants to manifest his love to more beings.
Right, absolutely. Number three, because he wished to rule as a king of kings over us, even as we shared in his dominion. So in some sense, having creatures allows God to exercise his capacity as the creator, as the ruler over us.
Right.
Four, because he takes pleasure in us. Revelation 4:11.
Right.
Five, because he'll be glorified forever in us. I think that's the first question in the Presbyterian Shorter Catechism.
Right.
You know, our purpose is to enjoy God forever.
And glorify him.
Glorify him, yeah. Number six, because we're a crucial part of his cosmic design for the world and the universe. Why don't you say something about that and we'll end there?
Well, the reason God created the sun, the moon, the stars, planet Earth, etc., is because he was putting humans on this planet. Now, it's true, he also chose to put the animals, but the animals were put there for humans. Humans weren't put there for the animals. And so he created the world for humans, and I heard one theologian say that the reason there's all these planets out there is because of the beauty of God, and God is giving us a beautiful universe to live in. Now, it may be eventually we will go out and populate the planets, who knows? But the point is, God created all of this for us. He didn't create this for the angels. There's no evidence that the angels are going to be living on planet Earth ever, or that that's their destiny. But it is the human destiny.
Well, thank you, Leslie, for your question about man's purpose. Of course, in order to fulfill your purpose for why God created you, you need eternal life. You need to live forever with God, and that's a free gift by simply believing in Jesus for it. Once you have eternal life, now God can rule over you, and you can rule under God over creation. If you have any questions about how to have eternal life, how to be assured of your salvation, be sure to go to our website, faithalone.org, where we have thousands of articles and audio and even video clips that can help lead you into a deep relationship with Jesus.
Thank you guys for that great discussion. Our goal is to teach Scripture clearly and without confusion. One of the best tools for gaining that clarity, we believe, is our website. It's faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On our site, we have all kinds of materials that are designed to help you mature and grow in your faith and your understanding of Scripture. Please come visit us at faithalone.org. You'll be glad you did. God loves a cheerful giver, and that's why we think our financial partners are the happiest people of all. If you'd like to learn how to become a financial partner with Grace in Focus, we would very much appreciate it. You can learn more at faithalone.org. It's really exciting to hear from our listeners. So if you've got a question, comment, or feedback, I hope you'll reach out to us. Best way to do that is through email. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Well, here we are at another Friday. Thanks for listening, and we look forward to being back with you on Monday. I'm Lucas Kitchen with Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep Grace in focus.